Mockin scaling is a non-parametric form of item response theory. I don't think this is something that you need to worry too much about at this stage, but people usually ask the question, or they want to know, why is it described as non-parametric? To say that something is parametric means that, for example, in a population we know the distribution of scores. When something is non-parametric, we don't know what that distribution is. So certain assumptions are made when things are parametric and not made when they are non-parametric. In the case of item response theory, to say that a method is parametric, for instance rash scaling, it means that we know the shape of the item characteristic curve, and the tests for that method are based around estimating how closely the item characteristic curves conform to that and how they behave otherwise. In Mockin scaling, it's described as non-parametric because, as described by Mockin and Lewis in one of the readings I gave you, all that's required is that item characteristic curves are monotonely homogeneous across the whole range of the latent trait, and that item characteristic curves don't intersect. If they don't intersect, they're described as being doubly monotonous. In other words, they're both monotonely homogeneous and they don't intersect. Just note as an aside here, and we'll pick this up later, that double monotonicity only, strictly speaking, applies to dichotomous items. For instance, yes-no items. And that was the case in Gutmann scaling, which can only deal with dichotomous items. And in fact, the early forms of Mockin scaling could only deal with dichotomous items. Later forms can deal with polytomous items, as we'll see. However, that aside, that explains why Mockin scaling is described as being non-parametric. Now, some people assume or claim that parametric methods are better than non-parametric methods. It's not true. Parametric methods and non-parametric methods need to be applied appropriately to appropriate kinds of data and appropriately to the kind of measurements we're trying to achieve. So, for example, if it's accuracy that you want to achieve, then parametric methods are ideal. And, for example, rash scaling is used to investigate people's behaviour in examinations where precise scoring is required. But in many clinical situations, all we want to know is if somebody is better or worse or the same than they were the day before, or to place people on a continuum, but not necessarily precisely, but certainly to know if they are moving one way or another on that continuum or are further along that continuum, in other words, are further along the latent trait, for example, of depression than somebody else. So non-parametric methods are ideal for that. There is actually an advantage in non-parametric methods in that they are less demanding of the items, and this means that more items tend to be retained by non-parametric methods than by parametric methods. So they can be very useful for the development of questionnaires and inventories, but not where accuracy is required. However, please note that that isn't necessarily a disadvantage. I want to emphasise that Mockin scaling is a very useful method indeed. So you've had some reading by Mockin and Lewis and Watson et al. On the basics of Mockin scaling. What I'd like you to do to complete this session is to read an article which is available on the Google Drive by Van Schuur. It's called Mockin Scale Analysis Between the Gutmann Scale and Parametric Item Response Theory. This traces the history of Mockin scaling to some extent. It covers Gutmann scaling and it compares Mockin scaling with classical test theory, for example, factor analysis. It does get quite technical. Don't get too bogged down in the technical details. You can quite easily skim this and look for the textual parts, which actually contain some very useful information. But it does show you Mockin scaling is quite a complex technique, but you don't need to understand all these complexities to understand the method. So I must emphasise again, please don't get bogged down in the technical aspects of this article. In the next session we're going to look at is Mockin scaling useful, before we move on to some of the further developments and more technical aspects of how to run Mockin scaling. I hope you found this session useful. Thank you very much for listening.